Thank you. This is Lunchtime Live and our top story on the programme. The future of North Sea oil and gas is back under the spotlight with the end of the public consultation today on the Jackdaw gas fields, which stands around 150 miles off the coast of Aberdeen. Now, this is part of the ongoing regulatory process ahead of a decision on whether to allow production there to begin. Well, Paul Dulieu is the director of the Energy Transition Institute at Robert Gordon University and has worked in the oil and gas industry for over 30 years. And Robert Palmer is the deputy director of the environmental campaign group Uplift. And both of us join us on the programme this afternoon. Robert, we'll start with you. This consultation is ending today and you are against development there. Can you tell us why?
Yes, so fields like Jackdaw and the bigger Rosebank oil fields, they're going to do nothing to bring down people's energy bills. They will do next to nothing to improve our energy security, but they are really dangerous from a climate point of view. You know, globally, we already have enough oil reserves, and if we burn all of those, we'll go through our livable climate limits. And, you know, you can see over the last few months, we've had wildfires in the Cairngorms, Arthur's Seat in Suffolk in France. You know, those wildfires are caused by burning oil and gas. And so the answer isn't more oil and gas. The answer is to continue to push as fast as we can towards renewables, where Scotland is a real world leader when it comes to offshore wind.
Robert, can't we do both?
Well, I mean, we can't do both from a climate point of view, so there's very little benefit of exploring and drilling more oil and gas in the North Sea, but there are some real dangers from the kind of climate perspective of burning that oil and gas. And so really the answer is to say we need to transition away from oil and gas and continue to build out renewables and also help households get off their dependence on fossil fuels and move the shift towards electricity. You know, at the moment, our reliance on oil and gas is really making all of us poorer. That's the path. The future is renewables.
Okay. Paul, what do you make of that? I mean, it's difficult to see the wildfires that are raging. I mean, people in the south of England have been dealing with, you know, quite a, you know, record-breaking heat wave. It's difficult to experience these effects of climate change and not be swayed somewhat by the arguments, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the climate emergency is real, and the heat waves, the wildfires and everything else is very realistic. But it's about the balance. And again, if it was simple, we already would have done it. We would already moved to renewables. We already would have made the decision on Jackdaw and Rosebank. It isn't straightforward, because switching off supply here in the North Sea doesn't actually change the demand. We're still going to use gas for our gas boilers this winter. We're still driving our cars. We still need for industrial processes. So the main thing is, as long as we need it, let's make sure we use the lowest carbon emission energy we can use. And the problem is, if we don't do fields like Jackdaw, and that's a perfectly reasonable decision the government can make, the alternative is we're going to have to import it. And that is the problem, because we're still using it, we're going to import it with a high carbon footprint. And of course, when we do that, we don't have the jobs here, we don't have a supply chain here, we don't get the tax revenues here, and we can't use our tax revenue money to pay for other things like defence, social care, NHS, and all the other priorities the government needs to deal with. So it isn't a simple amount, it's one or the other. I think it's absolutely, we need to do all our energy that is available to us and use them all, but absolutely accelerate the renewables over time.
Okay. Robert was arguing that even if we did, you know, drill for the gas in the Jackdaw field and the oil from Rosebank, of course, when that decision has been made a week later, it's not really going to have that much of an effect on the cost to the consumer. I mean, do you accept that?
So, separate that. Jackdaw is built. It is ready to come on stream this winter, and if it comes on stream, it will provide 6% of the UK supply in the winter, but stocks in Europe of gas are particularly low, so it's not like a decision should we do it or not. It's built, it's only the decision is to switch it on or not. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. It goes into the UK gas grid to the UK consumers, provides UK energy security. Of course, it's priced on the global market, so it's not affecting the bills, but it certainly gives us energy security. If we decide not to switch it on, it's a government decision, then we will need to import that gas what would have come from Jackdaw from elsewhere. And if it comes in the form of liquefied natural gas from the US or from Qatar or from wherever it comes from, it comes at a higher carbon footprint. And I don't want to make the climate the emissions seem worse by importing of a high carbon footprint, and I don't think operational will do that either. So I think there's a practical element here is we need to think about how do we change the demand, but in the interim, let's not switch our supply and use all the energy we have at our fingertips here in the North Sea to provide the UK energy security we need for the future.
Okay, Robert, there is a convincing argument to be had there, isn't there? I mean, we are going to be using this gas anyway. Is it not more sensible to just get the gas that's on our doorstep rather than being at the whim of a supply chain that quite frankly has been quite unreliable, shall we say, over the last 6 months or so? And it's going to be costing us the same amount of money anyway, and the carbon footprint's going to be higher if we're getting it from the US or if we're getting it from the Gulf.
Yeah, just on that last point about the carbon footprint, Paul is comparing sort of North Sea gas to the dirtiest import, which is liquid natural gas, whereas actually most of our gas imports come from Norway, which is cleaner. But you know, really, when it comes to burning the stuff,
but why should we get it from Norway when we've got it on our doorstep?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me the problem is that whether you talk about the kind of the carbon footprint of producing the gas, it's the actually burning of the gas itself that is the kind of really big problem from a climate point of view. And you know, we have production that is already happening in the North Sea. You know, we're going to be reliant on oil and gas for a longer period of time. But what we don't want to be doing is locking in continued dependence on oil and gas. And I think this sort of two big picture context things that's important here. First of all, the North Sea is a field that has been in decline for over a decade. And that is because of geology, not because of politics, because we've burned most of the oil and gas in there. And then secondly, I think we've seen, you know, we're going through the second energy crisis in 5 years, that our reliance on oil and gas is expensive and is risky. And so rather than doubling down on oil and gas, I really think what we should be doing is moving as fast as we can towards renewables.
And just finally, a final thought from you, Paul. I mean, there does seem to be a consensus we need to be moving towards renewables. What's been holding us back from doing this, from doing this middle way of doing the renewables plus the oil and gas just to tide us over?
Yeah, I think nobody argues with the destination. We need to get to zero. This is a journey question. How fast can we get there? The reality is, as hard as we go on wind farms and solar panels, it is going to take time, and we will need all energy at our fingertips. And I want to correct Robert on this one, because yes, you know, it would be lovely to get more gas from clean sources. Unfortunately, it's not available. So theoretically, it's a lovely conversation. The practicality isn't like that. So the government has to be real and be really realistic. What can they do in the short term to make it work? Absolutely accelerate renewables. It's going to take time on licensing, consenting, getting into the grid, building systems. We will need oil and gas for decades to come. For heaven's sake, let's use what is on our doorstep with
okay.
The lowest carbon footprint.
Well, unfortunately, time is something that we've run out of, gentlemen, but thank you very much indeed for joining us to talk this through. Paul Deleu and Robert Palmer.